March the 21st in the year of our Lord 2017. And we're going to be looking at a hymn, and let's hear a little bit of it. For God so loved the world that he gave. A hymn that sounded really close to the hymn we were looking at, but I don't think it was it, was it, Pastor Mark Smith?
It was not the right hymn, Tom.
So would you please sing it?
God loved the world so that he gave his only son, the lost to save, that all who would in him believe should everlasting life receive. There you go.
Excellent. And we just lost half of our listeners. Yes, God loved the world so that he gave. What a busy day. Got in here just a bit late because I was preaching at the church extension.
Church extension fund, right.
And then I got the program now. Then after this, you'll have to take over the program because I'm preaching at 10 o'clock here.
And too then, many irons in the fire, Tom.
Oh, okay, we shall.
Story of your life.
And then what have I got? Oh, yes. We're doing the Sunday school lesson on issues, etc. And that'll be at 4:30 today on KFUO.
That'll be good. What's the topic?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it yet. No, believe it or not, it's the Lord's Supper.
Oh, well.
I might have something to say about that. And then I have shut-ins in the afternoon I'm seeing. In fact, I have one shut-in. I always like to have his mother there because it's a little difficult for him to understand me, and she can help with that. And then I also tonight have been given the privilege of doing a Bible study at Lindenwood College.
Ooh, well, that should be interesting. How'd you get that opportunity?
What happened, Trinity Orchard Farm really doesn't have a group for young adults, you know, college up to 30 and such. Mm-hmm. And so one of the individuals who was there, named Elizabeth, was attending a youth group that's involved with a number of churches. For example, Emmanuel in St. Charles,
right.
And then also the one that President Harrison goes to.
Old Village?
Yes, Village Ladue.
Oh, uh-huh.
And what they do, they kind of take turns going around. And so I had some of those youth attend a worship service at Trinity, and afterwards they asked, would you be willing to come in? It just so happens, Tuesday night I normally can't because I have youth confirmation, but they're on spring break. So I'm free tonight. So at 7:30, Lindenwood College, we're going to be doing a couple of Bible passages. And I hope I'm going to be able to say that's the answer I wanted to hear, because it's wrong.
Well, I know the young people will enjoy your leadership.
I'm looking forward to that, yes. And we'll see. Trinity might get involved with that group. We have to wait until a couple of things occur. But God loved the world so that he gave, a hymn written by John, right?
Yeah, John 3:16, of course.
Yes, of course.
I was just looking to see who the translator was.
August Krull, 1923 he died.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar with him, but There are a number of hymns based on Bible passages, like Psalm 23. The trouble with that one, it's almost identical to the psalm.
Right.
Whereas this one, there's only, what do you call John 3:16? It's called
Gospel in a Nutshell.
Yes. And so since it's only one verse long, there's a lot in the hymn that helps explain it. This would be a great hymn if you're trying to get a child to understand the gospel in a nutshell. So without further ado, would you be so kind as to do the first stanza?
Okay. God loved the world so that he gave his only son the lost to save, that all who would in him believe should everlasting life receive.
So, it's not that God loved the Christians.
No, he loved the world.
Yeah, the world.
Nobody's left out.
No.
Even those that will finally reject him.
Yes, yes. Because the sacrifice Jesus made, and here we disagree with five-point Calvinists who believe that he only died for the elect, he really died for the world.
Right.
And it's just amazing how people just come up with these strange conclusions that he only died for the elect. I mean, you could never look at anybody and say your sins are forgiven, because you'd have to know whether or not he was predestined to heaven or predestined to hell.
Well, I think one problem that people have sometimes is when you say, did God die for Adolf Hitler? Yes, he did. He was included.
Yes.
Even though he finally obviously rejected him. But,
yes.
But he died even for the scoundrels of history.
Exactly. And we do know, of course, that there was one who isn't going to heaven because Jesus said he would have been better had he never been born.
Right. Judas.
Judas, yes.
In fact, I'm going to be preaching about him.
Oh.
This coming Wednesday.
Really?
He's one of the series. The series I'm preaching is sermons preached by Jesus' enemies. And Judas's statement, or sermon, if you will, is, I have betrayed innocent blood.
Wow. Yeah. That's something a lot of people don't remember. He says that.
I have sinned, for I have betrayed innocent blood. So it's going to be on him.
Yeah, and yet he's still damned.
Yes.
Whereas the thief on the cross says the same thing.
Right.
He says to the other thief, this man is innocent. We deserve what we're getting. But he's saved.
That's right. So, that's right. This very day you'll be with me in paradise.
That's what the sermon I was talking about on Sunday at Trinity Orchard Farm is. The real purpose of Christianity is to change your perspective on reality and move away from how normal human beings think to how God thinks. Yeah. I'll tell you what happened to me last night. I did the sermon for today, and I'm thinking about it, and I just don't think it was that good. And then, you're lying in bed, and all of a sudden another thought comes.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Do you get up? Do you get up right away and jot it down? Or you say, I'll remember it in the morning.
Right? I remember it in the morning.
And then you forget it.
No, I didn't. At church extension, I began by saying, we're not using the sermon I wrote.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so I went with the new one. Yeah, so.
You never know how that's going to work.
Oh, no, individual came up afterwards and said, boy, I really appreciate that. And then gave me an example how he had used also. But I'm not going to tell you what it is, because the question, if people are listening, they're going to
know the answer.
Yeah,
you don't want that.
No, we don't want that. No. I'll read stanza two. Christ Jesus is the ground of faith, who was made flesh and suffered death. All then who trust in him alone are built on this chief cornerstone.
Okay, now how would you explain that to a kid?
Okay.
Ground of faith.
The ground of faith. I would say, what is the foundation upon which this house is built? Because they're living in a house. And I would explain that the foundation would have maybe a basement or a cement foundation. Now, I don't know about your house, but mine doesn't either. But a lot of churches have what's called a cornerstone.
Yes, we do.
And your church,
church, right.
Yeah, I don't know of a church that doesn't have a cornerstone, because that's what the last line says. are built on this chief cornerstone.
There's also a hymn, Christ is our cornerstone.
Yes. And that is usually the piece of the building that holds the whole thing together. You know, you remove the cornerstone and parts of it are going to fall down, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not much of an architect, so I could be wrong on that. But, and so I would explain that in every other religion, what's the cornerstone? Not what you believe, but what you
do.
Obey, yes.
What you obey.
Yes. And this is so clear, verse 2. All then who trust in him alone. And this is what makes Christianity absolutely unique, is that Abraham trusted or believed God. And it was
reckoned to him as righteousness.
Yes, exactly. And I would explain to the child I'm talking to, are you righteous enough to go to heaven? And the child would say no, if they understand what sin is. And then I would say that's the answer I wanted, because you are righteous enough from God's point of view. We keep looking at ourselves. In every other religion in the world, righteousness is equivalent. A synonym for righteousness would be obedience. But in Christianity, the synonym for righteousness is faith. That's why we're saved through faith alone, not by works, lest anyone should boast. And that's really, really important. All right, stanza 3.
God would not have the sinner die. His Son with saving grace is nigh. His Spirit in the Word declares how we in Christ are heaven's heirs.
What's the most important phrase? It's found in the last part of that stanza that makes us heirs. We have to be in
Christ.
Okay, what does that mean?
We're in Christ?
Yeah.
Well, we're cloaked in his righteousness, his robe of righteousness.
Well said, yes. In fact, Wallace Schultz did a whole Good News issue about being in Christ. Once you get outside of Christ, you lose forgiveness. You lose the robe of righteousness.
Right.
You lose all the promises. And that's why I kind of like Paul's analogy that Christ is the head and we are the
body.
Body, yes. That's how we're in Christ. And so wherever Christ is, that's where we are. That's why Ephesians says we not only have died to sin, we've not only risen to new life, but we have already ascended to heaven in Christ.
In Christ.
Yes. So take Christ away, you're taking the cornerstone away, you're taking the foundation away, and
you have nothing.
That's well said. Yes. All right. God would not have the sinner die. How do we know that?
He would have all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yeah, that's actually a
Bible passage.
Verse. And that's the verse we use against the idea that he predestines people to hell. Predestines means that he chooses.
He chose. The Calvinists teach that he chose some for heaven and chose others for hell. Now, that's logical, but it's not biblical.
No, it's reasonable. It's okay, not
there
logical.
You go. You're right. Reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah, the logic of Scripture forces you, in light of the passage you just said, to say that God did not predestine anybody to hell because he desires all men to be saved. You see, if he predestined to hell, that's his will. But you already said his will is that all men be saved. He would have a contradiction in his will. So theology is already always the logical conclusion. And unfortunately, many Christians go for the reasonable conclusion. And there's a huge difference between those two. Logic allows for mystery. Like, if I said a dog is a horse is a cow, logically, you could say a dog is a cow. Reasonably, you wouldn't, because that's not what your experience teaches you. But the problem is the reason that we come up with the Trinity is that's the logical conclusion. We do know there were three persons. I was at an office, and I was talking to the people, and there were some folks there in the office, and a lady found out I was a pastor. So she said, "You're a pastor?" I said, "Yes," and she gave me two tracts.
She said, "You're a pastor?" Is that,
no.
That's the tone she used?
She said,
"You?"
And she said, "Well, we'll continue to bless you." And I made copies of the tracts because I could see from the title that I didn't agree with the tract at all.
Uh-huh, right.
It was a charismatic thing where you had to be able to speak in tongues.
Right.
And this tract was real obvious. Well, I'll tell you what it taught in a moment. But I had a dilemma. Should I look at her and said, "No, this is false teaching," in front of everybody?
Yeah, you know.
And I said, "No, I'll just let this go," because I knew I could get her name later on because she was there and I could talk to the secretary if I wanted to talk. But what was also in the track, and maybe you can explain this to our audience, is was the teaching of modalism. Remember, that's the teaching where there are not three persons, but one God who appears in three different modes. And that's what she said, the tract said. The only God is Jesus. And sometimes he appears as the Father.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Like, no. I and the Father are one. If you see me, you see the Father. They would use verses like that. And the Holy Spirit was also a different mode. But only one God.
Kind of like water, ice, and vapor.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's why that's not a good illustration of the Trinity.
No. Or an apple. Right. A peel, the fruit, and the core.
No, there is no really good illustration of the Trinity.
No, that's because it's a mystery.
Right.
Mysterion in the Greek, which is translated by Jerome as sacramentum. That's where we get the word sacrament from. Be that as it may, every time they talked about baptized, in parenthesis, they had the word immersed.
Uh-huh.
And I read the text where it says, not once is the word baptism ever used where it's non-immersion. And even one of my members put her hand up. She said, "Well, they also baptized tables."
I said,
"Well, we had a dinner at our house," and I said to Louise, "Well, we need to wash the table." So she and my son picked it up, took it over to the bathtub, dunked it.
Or take it down to the river.
Oh, yes.
No, it means to wash. Baptizo means to wash.
Yeah, in fact, they still use it today.
It can be immersed.
No.
It can be water or, you know, poured, sprinkled, but it means to wash.
Yeah, wash your hands or your face.
Sure.
Now, normally, maybe when you wash your hands, they would be immersed if you have a bowl of water, but a lot of times I just turn on the tap.
Just scrub.
And washing your face. Who immerses their face in the water? Boy. So I pointed out, stay with Concordia Publishing House tracks.
That's right.
Because they're very good, and if you want to give something
up. And, you know, some people will undermine, they will try to undermine your baptism if you are not immersed.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's terrible.
Well, not only did you have to be immersed, according to this track, you had to speak in tongues. And so, you know what verse they used? Was Pentecost. And I said, what kind
of
tongues?
Those are different languages.
Those are known languages. And if you look through the passage, was it 1 Corinthians 13 talking about tongues? Just take the word glossolalia for tongues and change it into known foreign languages, and it works all the way through. Well,
that's good to remember.
4. Be of good cheer, for God's own Son forgives all sins which you have done, and justified by Jesus' blood, your baptism grants the highest good. This is really a Lutheran hymn, because I always say what you need to do is always mention baptism, because that becomes our assurance. And he forgives all sins which you have done, including not only sins of commission, but sins of
omission.
Yes. That's good works that you're unable to do. He even takes care of that. Stanza 5.
If you are sick, if death is near, this truth your troubled heart can cheer. Christ Jesus saves your soul from death. That is the firmest ground of faith.
We're kind of going back to stanza 1, where it talks about that in Christ He is the one who is the cornerstone. That's actually two. And look at ground of faith is found also in stanza
right,
two.
That's right.
So that's kind of good. You start off with a theme and then you're ending with a theme here. So if death is near you, Christ Jesus saves your soul from death. How would you explain soul there to a child?
Well,
doesn't he save all of you?
Yes. In fact, he does. The body is also precious to him because it's the temple of his Holy Spirit. And that's, incidentally, that's why we dispose of the body in a reverent way. And we
right.
bury it in the ground. But on the last day, that body, too, will be raised and to join our soul in that new heaven and new earth for all eternity. So the body is precious, too.
The problem with the word soul, it has two meanings. You were using it as the distinction between the body and spirit, and so soul was spirit.
Right.
But have you ever heard that ushers will count how many people are in church, and I'll ask the question, how many souls do
how
we
many
have
souls?
There?
Yes.
And that's referring to person, the whole person.
Right.
In light of the fact that this is translated, we don't know what the original, and it would have been German. I'm not sure what word would have been used there. But that can mean either the person, Christ Jesus saves you from death, that's the firmest ground of faith. Or it could mean the spirit goes immediately to heaven, and as you said, the body joins with it. Now, why are we standing on the last stanza?
Because that's a doxological verse. It talks about the whole Trinity there.
And would you read that?
God, glory to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. To you, O blessed Trinity, be praise now and eternally.
Exactly. So what we have here is a tremendous, I think this is really well written. This
it is.
Yeah.
Good theology.
Probably I'm using it, I'm trying to remember, I already done the hymns for Sunday. I think I'm using it as a sermon hymn, but we'll have to wait and see. Well, right now I have to get ready for chapel at 10 o'clock, doing a sermon that I didn't write out last night, so I'm going to get ready for that. In the meantime, it indicates that what we're about to hear right now is a hymn done by a cathedral on God So Loved the World. So let me see. It might be a different tune again. Yeah, it's the correct tune. Thanks so much for being with us, Pastor Smith, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.